Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Thank you, Lord. It is really, really, really good to be here today. For those who don't know, I had treatment on Friday, and the time before I had treatment, I was getting ready to go back into hospital again because I was feeling so rotten. So praise God that I'm here. I didn't say to Rach, hey, just have a sermon just in case, but I thought about it. So thank you to all those who have been praying for me as I go through that treatment. And I feel a little bit like my arms and legs are made of concrete today, but I'm here, and God is good and He is able. Amen. When we are weak, He is, amen. So look out, what's God going to do today? Last week we talked about lifting up our eyes, that sometimes there are things happening in our lives that we just need to look up to Jesus. We need to look up to Him, and at times there can be things happening that can block our view of God. We can have trouble seeing God's hand in things that are happening. Anyone ever had those moments? And we talked about the disciples who didn't recognize Jesus on the road, and we talked about how we can sometimes not see God's blessings in our own life. I pray this week that when things have happened in your life, that you've been able to see past those things to see God's love, to think about what He is doing even through those challenges. And this morning I actually grabbed the, hope this doesn't make the microphone go crazy. I grabbed the picture that I was talking about last week. Is it upside down? No. There's the picture that's in my office. I'll turn it so the guys on the camera can see. That way is better, I think. Sometimes it's hard to see the light through the trees. If you go into a really, really thick bush, the light actually becomes dim. And sometimes the things that are happening in our lives are a bit like those trees that block our view of God's love for us. His love is shining on us. His love is there for us always. But sometimes there are obstacles. There are things in our life that make it so hard to see the love of God. I hope that picture just helps it stick in your head. This morning, I've had something on my heart for the last couple of weeks to share on, but I just want to start off by reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Got your Bible there, I encourage you to open up to it. I'm going to read from verse 11 to 21. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord. Does anyone understand their fearful responsibility to the Lord? We work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us. So you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. We don't want to have any spectacular ministries. That is not the goal. That is not the desire. We want to have pure hearts that love people and love God. And if we love people and we love God, the ministry will have a spectacular effect. But we don't have spectacular ministries. God does His spectacular work through us. Where was I? Verse 13. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. Some people go, wow, you guys get so excited at church. It's like, yeah, because we just love God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. In other words, we're trying to be calm. We're trying to be normal, just so you can understand us. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. What a privilege to carry that message. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This morning, the title of my message is Fresh Perspective. God wants us to have a fresh understanding, a fresh perspective of who we are. That we would see ourselves as God sees us, that we would see him as he truly is, not just who we think he is, that we would see him for who he really is. God wants you to have a fresh perspective. And I don't mean a new understanding of Jesus. Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we need to come back to that fresh understanding. When we first came to know Christ, that we don't ever drift from this Jesus who has set us free from the power of sin and death. It's interesting, over the last 2 weeks, as I've been praying and thinking about this message, last Sunday I had someone come to me and say, Andrew, I'd love to share a testimony about what God's been doing in my life. And as we talked about it a bit and we sort of messaged backwards and forwards through the week and heard a bit about what the testimony was on, I thought, wow, this kind of really lines up with what I want to say today. So where's Izzy? There she is. I'm going to invite Izzy to come. Have we got a microphone there? Let's give her a proper clap as she comes. That was a bit sleepy. And I'm going to let Izzy share a bit of her journey from the last few months, few weeks, few years, all of the above. Okay, thanks, Izzy.
Thank you, Andrew. God is already in the details here, because this morning's first song was the song that I had in my dream that Rachel sing that brought me to this church. So he's already in the details. And the song is From Grave to Gardens. So yeah, he got me out of a grave of shame into his garden of peace. And yeah, so I'll just, and this is here for tears of gratitude, not sorrow. I'll just start by sharing a bit of my life before I get to how I come to who I am now. I want to share a testimony to show how God healed me from 34 years of living in very deep shame, and how shame kept me isolated, and how the thoughts that was shame-based impact my life, because I never was loved as a child. I only knew abuse, neglect, and thoughts. That's why I am this at earth, because that's all that happened to me. So that's why I'm here on earth, to be all this for other people to abuse. With the sexual abuse came a lot of shame and feel like you damaged goods. Yes, my thinking and thoughts was all based on shame. But there is a part of my past I haven't told anyone till I start Christian counseling with Rachel Driscoll in Bannockburn. God loved me through Rachel, and that became a place of I felt safe. Even just hearing God love me made me angry. How he let all these things happen if he loves me. I was a very active child at school, good at swimming, playing sport, was fit, active, but not built like all the other girls. My mum always had a problem with my body. My mum had me on diet since I was 9 years old. I remember some nights I was so hungry I would go and steal food at night, and shame just got more and more. I even started stealing money to buy food at school. Shame on top of shame. I thought, for most of my life, how would God want me or love me after stealing, and what men would want use goods for, covered in deep shame. the shame just got bigger and bigger. It completely took over my life. I had an eating disorder. Just like alcoholics need alcohol, mine was food. Mindless eating to numb the pain and the shame, and it get worse. 8 years ago, my eating disorder turned into bulimia. Eat in secret, but also don't eat in front of people. Didn't keep my food in. Eat and throw up because my mind was just entangled in shame. More shame, but this was making me sick. I had no energy, and my body was lacking a lot of nutrients. It's when I start coming here to this church, I could feel the love, but love scared me. Shame still said, you're not loved. Even I knew so many of you did care, but my shame-based thoughts were so strong. My identity was in the shame. It's all I could see, and it's all I was focusing on. I didn't let anyone in. My thoughts of myself were so bad. The more I think like this, the deeper the shame became. The more I was alone, and no one will ever want me. And what I thought about myself, I was damaged good. I was unlovable. And if people know what I did to survive, they would not want me. It was just work and food for my whole adult life. It's only when I started seeing Rachel for counseling that I said it for the first time. I have a problem with food. But to get help as a 40-year-old woman was a challenge. Got doctor's appointments, but the waiting time was 6 to 8 months to get help. I had to get help. I needed a community around me. Rachel and Beck was my support from July last year with this journey. Beck sit with me every Sunday to just get me through a service because I didn't want to be here, but I showed up every Sunday. Cried my way through it, but I showed up. It was not easy to ask for help, but it's almost impossible to try and heal in isolation. I struggle with how God can love me. If he can make a blind man see, why can't he heal me? But I learned about free will and how gentle God is, and God don't pressure. I grew up doing everything out of fear and everything out of anger, so I had to try to be perfect for my parents. He loves me so much, even with all the brokenness. Rachel talked to me about free will, and then I read this. God gave us free will, and if love is a choice, then suffering is a possibility. Our ability to choose love. If we wasn't able to choose love, we couldn't receive love, and God is love. I know this is a lot and it's raw, but I wanted to share because with God, everything is possible. On Australia Day, I hurt my finger. I had to get surgery. And with this come, I couldn't do anything for 2 weeks, couldn't drive anywhere, couldn't work, and I wouldn't have an income. And as my finger got cut, it was like I said, okay, I had it, God. You show me how to get out of this because I'm stuck and I'm so lost and I just don't see a way out. I will start with a scripture, Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Throw off all that hinders us and entangles us. I have thrown off everything that hindered me and entangled me to run my race. That 2 weeks, I listened to a lot of Craig Grissel's messages after the message of if you're stuck on New Year's Day. He said this, trying doesn't work, training does. Trying is an attempt to do the right thing by exerting effort in the moment. Training is the commitment and strategic habits you do before the moment that you equipped you to do the right thing in the moment. All athletes are 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 to 27. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for eternal prize. So I run with a purpose in every step. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Then I listened to a message of shame from Craig Groeschel, and he said something that really broke through the shame that day. We do the things we do because the way we think of ourselves. Our lives moves in the way of our strongest thoughts. As you can see, my eyes were fixed on shame and what shame say I am. That I couldn't see my true identity, what God say I am. You are who God say you are. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. 1 John 3, verse 1. So stuck at home, I start to get into the scripture, and it's all I did for almost 2 weeks. And that is how this journey of mine, I just put the scripture in and everything. The Bible is actually like a compass. It's like, it actually, I put it at the end, I'll just read it. So Psalm 115 verse 105 in the Message, I love the scripture. By your words I can see where I am going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. So by the putting all the scripture into me for the last 2 weeks, I could start seeing my way out of the darkness, how the shame has kept me from God and my true identity. So stuck at home and I start to get into the strips. It's almost 2 weeks, and how do we train for this race? We need to know the truth of God's word. We need to fill ourselves with the truth. Things slowly start to shift. The anxiety got less. I started to sleep better. The eating disorder started to get less and less. Now there's not even a temptation or a thought or anything of it. And the picture that he gave about how you have to renew your mind is if you walk over grass for a very long time, the path actually gets so you can see there's a path. So you have to stop walking that path and walk out a new path in the way of God wants you. Till that path actually, the grass starts growing and you can't see that path, so you're not tempted to go down that path. Every three time I looked at scriptures about identity and shame and how to change your thinking according to Bible and filling me with the truth. Romans 12 verse 2 say, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but transform by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing perfect will. This means interpreting life through the lens of God's word and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rather our own lens of our hurts, experience, trauma, and everything that other people say about you. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think of these such things. Only way I can take these thoughts captive is when I know what God says about me and how He sees me. This is where we have to start training. It's hard to ask for help. And sometimes when you ask for help, it doesn't happen overnight. Very important, don't isolate yourself. You need a community to heal. Even when most of you loved me and I just couldn't see it or receive it, God loved me through so many of you. But being committed to spend time with God looked like getting up an hour before I go to work, to have an hour with God in the Word, Scripture, devotionals. It doesn't mean you won't stop having trials, but it gets easier with help of the Holy Spirit to take those thoughts captive, to keep you focused on God and fill yourself up with Scriptures and the truth. John 7, 37 to 38. On the last day and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." God gave me this picture of a river that's flowing. And to keep this river flowing, we have to keep drinking from God. And that means reading His Word and spending time with Him. And we need to fill ourselves so we keep flowing, because what happens if a river stops flowing? It first will become green with algae. It will start stinking. And then it will dry up. And to understand the importance of to fill ourselves with Scripture, also it's important not to isolate, because if we isolate, we don't have our community to fill us while we can't do it for ourselves. And that's what all of you did since the day I came to this church. John 15, verse 1 to 14. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that the joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Being a branch, all you really need to do is stay connected to the vine. So if you stay in the scriptures and know this truth and just stay connected to Jesus, he actually will do everything for you. He's the one that the vine brings the nutrients up through the roots, and then the Father will come cut off what should be cut off. But the main thing here is to just be with God and stay connected with God, and the rest will fall in place. Next scripture really moved me. Jesus demonstrated that being overwhelmed is part of life. And even Jesus was troubled and overwhelmed. And the scripture really helped me understand what we feel and what hurt us. It's okay to be overwhelmed. It's just what we do with it. So Matthew 26, verse 36 to 41. Then Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. This is the bit that really got to me, that he actually was sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may the cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." This one is the night just before the crucifixion, but God was actually overwhelmed to the point of death, but we know why to the point of death. But how many nights do we get overwhelmed that we can't see a way out and that we lose hope? We don't know where to turn and things are dark. And it's raw and it's not easy, but this is where God shows us what we actually have to do. He went away and he surrendered what he was feeling to God. He said, if it's his will, so it's all about God's will. It's like even if there's trials, we go through them. We can ask God to make it better for us, but we need to go through the trials. But it's God's will. But if we surrender the trials, we can do it in God's peace. And this is what happened to me. Every night, it was like a really, really hard. It was temptation. And some nights, even the shame would say, "Don't message anyone. Don't reach out. They will think you a burden. You're not a burden." Most nights, Beck was still awake, and she didn't know why she was still awake, but she was still awake. So, yeah, and then there was someone, and it's so important to have community. Reach out. You don't have to do this on your own, in isolation, but most of all, surrender to God, and God's peace will actually help you. And if you live from a place of His peace, you see things so differently, and you can actually be so much more clear in the moment. And it doesn't happen overnight. And some days are hard, but then you still have your community and you have God to ask you to help you. I felt to share this with you because I know we all struggle and have trials. And it doesn't mean the trials will stop, but you will be ready for when it comes your way. This was my journey the last 6-8 months. I want to thank God that He healed my bulimia and anxiety completely. It is a really big miracle. All the medication I was on, I don't need anymore. I canceled all my appointments that I was waiting for 8 months, a month before it was going to happen. God is our healer. He can do it all. He's bigger than it all. The Holy Spirit is helping me, taking my thought captive. I want to thank God for just this community that He put me in 16 months ago. And even though I didn't realize it, I know a lot of you were praying. It's like that picture. You can't see a thing if you're in the dark. But that's where the scripture came in. The scripture was a light that actually got me out of that dark and renewing my mind every day, every thought I took captive. Even this morning driving here, I was like overwhelmed and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this because people need to hear this message. Too many people are struggling with loneliness and being alone and to the point that they don't want to live anymore. And it's not right. We need to be vulnerable. We need to be vulnerable with our journeys because there's a lot of people that actually struggle. And after 20 years, I started swimming again. And I'm actually doing Laps for Life for the month of March, and I'm going to swim 20 kilometers for the month of March to raise awareness and funds to help the organization reach out to help youth with mental illness and suicide awareness. I think it's necessary, this resource, because there's a lot of... This resource is actually for parents, too, that doesn't know how to help their kids, but it's for kids. They can go there without saying their name or anything. If you lived in shame and anxiety and fear for 34 years and find God's amazing peace, to live from a place with God's peace is easier to take the thoughts captive. So I just got a couple of verses. Philippians 4, verse 5 to 8. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understandings, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. To have God's peace, you must train, be prepared, and know your identity. After 34 years to find God's peace, my heart is full of gratitude, and tears of sorrow turned into tears of joy. To change, you need to think the right thing about yourself. Know your identity and start your identity with who? God, not what you do. I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Hebrews 12, verse 11. You're never too far gone, or God can do the impossible. Know that you're precious in God's sight. You're chosen, you accepted. You're God's masterpiece, and more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves and gives you strength. I just want to thank all of this church family and Rachel and everyone that was praying. All the Mondays that Rachel spent with me since July, it was almost every Monday afternoon after work. We would sit here till 5 or 6 just to be. The back got me through services. But the important thing is to turn up all the time and to surrender all the time. And just if you just turn up, God will do what he needs to do. But he won't do anything if you don't turn up. You need to ask for help. And just want to say thank you for Andrew for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I'm just trying to decide if I say any of this now. I'm just looking at my notes, look at the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We need a fresh perspective sometimes. I'll just share this one thought. Does anyone remember the old movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Actually, when I thought of the movie, I was like, oh, I've got to watch that again. It's probably terrible now you watch it back, but do you remember the moment when the kids, if you haven't seen the movie, I should fill it in, as a scientist, and he shrinks the kids down to the size of an ant or a little tiny bug, and they get thrown out with the garbage, and they're in the backyard, and they're wandering around the backyard in the grass, and the bees come, and the grasshoppers come, and the lawnmower comes, and you know, for a human being, a grasshopper isn't very scary, but imagine for a moment you're shrunk to an ant, and your perspective has completely changed. A grasshopper is a pretty terrifying thing. A lawnmower, well, that's like a cyclone. And as I was thinking about it, I think, you know, sometimes our perspective is completely out of whack. You know, it's wrong for a grasshopper to think it's a lion, but it's pretty sad when a lion thinks it's a grasshopper. You know, we are sinners that need a Savior, and we've got to come first to our Savior to be transformed. He doesn't force himself upon us. He waits for us to open the door and say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. God, I need your help. And then he will come in and he brings forgiveness and he brings life and he makes us new. We become new creations. We transform that from that grasshopper into that lion. We are changed in that moment. But you know, what's really sad is that sometimes we go on through life, we are changed, we are new, but our thinking is still like the grasshopper. And God doesn't want us to stay a grasshopper and think we're a lion, because that's just messed up too. But God wants us to be renewed, to be made whole, and then to know in our minds that we are. And I love what Izzy has shared with us this morning about coming to the Word of God and saying, God's Word says it's true, so I believe it because it is true. And we need to come back to the Word of God, to let His Word speak to our hearts and make us new, to give us a fresh perspective again. God loves all people. He loves you. And we're going to finish with a song this morning. Maybe there's a moment that kind of blocks you to the love of God, that blocks you to thinking that you could be loved by Him or loved by someone else. Maybe there's lies that you've believed that you have listened to, and it's been a block for you to believe you are who God says you are. This morning, as we listen to this song, I just encourage you to hand over those things this morning. Hand them over and say, God, have your way in me. Give me that fresh perspective, that fresh understanding of who you are and who you say I am. Let's ask the team if they'd put that song on as we just stay seated and let this song minister to you now. Thanks, guys.